Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, to tell you about my friends over at Gaslight. Check them out on GaslightSTL.com. Go on over there, book yourself a tour if you haven't been by yet. It's a top-notch recording studio in town. They're doing really great stuff over there. Get yourself, book yourself a tour. Come over, check it out. You can come out this Friday, the 23rd of September.
For Worst Case Ontario.
The recording studio. And then also October 9th. Big party going on over there. It's going to be the 300th episode of Rock Paper Podcast. Featuring special guest Kavo. Very, very excited about this, guys. Super pumped to have Kavo over there. And then Loft Sessions, friends of the show, are going to be recording the whole thing for video. And it's just going to be an awesome day. We're going to have Four Hands, Urban Chestnut, Smoking Hot Cigars, Jameson Whiskey, and Cha Cha Chow. A lot of great vendors and people involved. And so $10 gets you in the door. And then, so come on out. Very limited seating. It's going to be a very intimate evening with Kavo. And that's on October 9th, Sunday. Come on out. GaslightSTL.com for full listing of events and details. And also follow them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
What's up, guys? This is Conquer As They Come, and you're listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast, y'all.
Hey, everybody. Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri, hanging out today in Washington, Missouri at the Sandbar with Conquer As They Come.
What's up? Hey.
Hello, to the everybody. Show, guys.
What's up, man?
I'm excited. This is cool. I've kind of known you guys for a little while, but like a lot of how this show works is it's a good excuse for me to get to hang out with you guys in a quieter atmosphere than at a show when we're trying to
get away from the wine,
yell over our band or something like that. So it's like it's nice where we can kind of hang out and get to know each other a little better and talk tunes and shows and all this other fun stuff. But like I said, we're here in Washington. This is what you guys call Washington home, right?
Pretty much,
that's my hometown.
Yeah,
Justin's hometown. I'm from Union. Bobby's from Union. Patrick's from Owensville.
Yeah. And then we're here at the Sandbar, like I said. Have you guys ever played here?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
A couple times.
Packed it out if you can't see how small it is.
Yeah.
Really loud.
Very loud.
Yeah?
I've been working here really for like though. 10 years, so
okay.
we had to do it, I guess, at least once. Ended up being twice.
Yeah. Both ended up being pretty good shows.
Yeah.
It was really fun.
Just do it again.
Yeah.
Well, I guess before we get going too far, we should probably introduce ourselves, and so those are everybody listening knows your voices. So who wants to get started?
I am Justin, and I play the drums for Conquer As They Come.
I'm Bobby. I play the bass.
Slaps the bass.
Slapping the bass.
I'm Patrick, and I play the guitar.
I'm DJ, and I'm not here.
No, I'm Andrew, and I am vocals for the band.
Yeah.
DJ has too many kids. He's like 47.
I almost thought he was here for a second.
47 kids.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kind of a little whiplash there.
He's shy.
Yeah. Kind of hides off in the corner.
Right. you guys, I mean, if anybody that's been following you guys online, you guys have been doing your part to promote the show. But you got a big show coming up on September 28th. Group goes by the name of Seven Dust.
Yeah, a little small group that comes out of originally from Georgia. I'm not sure.
Yeah,
many people have heard of them, but we're happy.
Yeah, that's
happy.
We're used to the small shows anyway.
Yeah, right.
I
wish them luck in their turnout.
Sure.
But yeah, Seven Dust, Crobot, which I'm a big fan of those guys. Yeah. I really like what they're doing.
I like Crobot a lot.
Yeah.
I watched a couple videos of Wilson as well, and they tore that up too.
So September 28th over at Pops, you guys have tickets to sell. So if anybody is interested in going,
you need one, right, Shane?
I'm gonna try to come out there, man. That'd be a good party. I don't know if work scheduling and all that stuff, but
it's gonna be fun for
sure.
I got tickets if you need some.
Yeah, you can contact your favorite band member.
Get them from him because he needs all the help.
Come on, man.
But that's yeah, man, that's going to be a big party. That's, Seven Dust, those guys been at it a long time and doing pretty well for
themselves. It's exciting, for sure. Yeah. I've been listening to them since, I'm sure we can all say we were kids.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Probably seventh, eighth grade.
Watching them at Woodstock on the TV.
First time I seen them live, I was like 16 at Riverport, three rows back. It was pretty badass.
I think I still have the cassette tape somewhere when I would listen to Extreme Radio 104.1 and they first came out with their first single. And I just remember I was kind of like, okay.
He actually meant to say 8-track cassette tape.
Yeah. I just wanted to be cool. I wanted to be with the times, you know.
You guys saying that pretty big influences on you guys?
Yeah.
I mean, that's got to be
pretty
surreal to be knowing you guys are going to share the stage with them.
Morgan Rose, the drummer, was a big influence in the beginning for me.
Yeah.
His style, he definitely has a style. And just the way he plays, I mean, like, his concerts, his arms going everywhere, his legs going everywhere, and he's always staying on beat and always he's keeping the theatrics in it, and that's what I really like too.
Yeah.
So it's really good stuff.
For sure.
Stage performance is a big part of putting on your show, getting people entertained and getting people to want to come back.
Visually entertained as well as hearing
exactly
music.
That's what we tried to do. We tried to add a little bit of that and it helped along the way.
For sure. Another big show, which I'm excited about also because I'm also included in it, October 29th. You guys will be at the Firebird. This is a big homies Halloween bash with Skyburnt White, New Lingo, Discrepancies, Apollo's Daughter, and Odom.
Good bands.
Yeah, that's just...
all local homies.
Right.
Yeah, a lot of folks from this area in like Franklin County that are, Discrepancies and Odom are they're from the St. Louis
Illinois area. I think Illinois.
Yeah, yeah. Odom's
Alton or something.
I can't think of the name of the town now. I drove over there in Muscuda, Illinois. That's where I met him at.
Gary actually flies from Ireland every month to practice with Odom. So
his dedication is out of control.
Discrepancies. Yeah, those guys are St. Louis based and everything. I mean, all these guys play around. They're all a bunch of my favorites, and they happen to be my friends, and that's what's the coolest part about it, man, is to go out and see all my favorite bands and knowing they're all, buddies of mine. So it's
It's like all those bands on that bill we've known for years, and they they're friends. Mm-hmm. They're true to what they say and what they do. They've been around, they support you like family would. All the bands, every single one of them has treated us with nothing but respect. And
I
went to high school with Joe and Ryan from New Lingo.
I worked with Joe
even back in the day. They were carrying on playing music, rocking out.
Sure.
I looked up to them guys because they were in it before I was. So.
They asked me to host the party. I don't know exactly what all that entails, but I'm excited to be a part of the adventure. And
master of ceremonies.
Yeah.
What Gabe doesn't know is he actually puts me to sleep at night. I put headphones in when I go to bed, and I play Skyburnt White very softly.
Yeah.
I actually fall asleep. So he knows that now.
You fall asleep.
Yes.
So one thing, since it's a Halloween show and you're hosting, are you going to dress up like the ringmaster? Asleep.
No, I'm just kidding.
I got to dress up like something. I don't know what I'm going to... What exactly the costume is going to be yet? But
I think we're all dressing as Gabe.
Yeah,
yes, all of us.
Just
I already have the beard.
Yeah, wear a Breaking Bad shirt. And then
camo jeans.
Yeah,
or shorts.
Right, with some tape on them.
Yes. Duct tape.
Yeah.
Duct tape. There you go.
It seemed very sweet.
The Sky Burnt White style.
He's like, you guys are assholes.
That's such a good band, too. I really like them.
Yeah.
They got great melodies and stuff.
Music,
really
man,
talented.
Yeah, they're
so
right.
So soothing.
They're all right here in Washington Union area also.
Yeah.
St. Clair, right?
Yeah.
In St. Clair, yeah. Oh, all the same thing.
But enough about them.
All right. But I want to kind of go back, though. I mean, like I said, I don't know a ton about Conquer As They Come. So I kind of like to go through and, you know, kind of get a little bit of origin and stuff and how you guys, you know, even came to be this group and stuff. So where does Conquer As They Come get started?
It really starts with Bobby and then
DJ.
Then DJ and Andrew, and then I kind of came into the picture, and then Patrick. That was sort of the order of things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What happened was, about five, almost 6 years ago?
Yeah.
Me and Bobby and DJ were working on a project. We had our old drummer, Ryan, who was with us at the time, and just trying new things, trying to write little bits of music, and our old drummer had passed away, unfortunately, and we were looking for another drummer, and I stumbled upon Justin's now wife, which sounded really bad when I said that, but talked to her a little bit. He's like, oh, my boyfriend's a drummer, and he would love to play, and he hasn't played in a long time. So we tried him out in a rinkety-dink shed that was falling apart at Bobby's property.
Yeah. Hey, it's well put together. It just looks like crap.
We actually filmed part of the music video where Justin tried out for the band.
Yeah, I was in some bands about 15 years ago. We played Pops a lot, and then I moved away to Kansas City for a couple of years, and I came back, and I actually lived right down the road from here for a little bit and came down here, and Andrew's actually singing, doing some songs, and I was like, well, definitely has a good voice, you know, and asked him, I was like, we should start a band. He's like, oh, I already got one. I'm like, okay. Well, and then I think he came over for a party, and I was like, there's my drums right there, you know, all rusting, you know.
I'm like, let's see what you got, bro.
Yeah, and then
he blew me away.
Well, then it was like, after, it was not too long after that, you guys were looking for a new drummer, and I guess they asked me to try out.
And then there he was, and then years went on, and we played with another local band that we grew to like, and them guys, and found Patrick here, and he was the lead singer for them for a while. And
for Midnight Hour, yeah.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to say the name, but, you know.
It's all right. I started that band about 8 years ago and worked on that. Put a lot of blood, sweat, and tears into that, and then that kind of dissolved, and pretty much thought it was done for me, and then I was DJing a wedding reception. DJ come walking up to me because he just happened to be at the wedding reception, and he said, man, you should come jam sometime. And this was just, DJ was wanting to start a little side project.
He wanted a new band.
To do covers. And,
oh, nice.
I just think that was his cover-up, seeing if I could play guitar or not.
And now then, we hear this.
Yeah, and then
DJ.
And then he talked with Justin, and I guess they decided they want me to try to join their group.
Yeah.
So I had to prove myself.
I think it was more along the lines, he said he was jamming with you, and we were like, dude, we're looking for another guitar player. You gotta ask him if he wants to come play for us. He's like, dude, I was gonna ask you guys that. And I was like, oh, okay, just tell him to get his ass over here then. So,
Here I is.
All right.
He brought enough flash that we were like, cool, yeah. We all look very dull, and this guy's like, way cooler than us.
it put some fire in our ass for certain things. I mean, we needed a little bit of a push, and I think that came just at the right time.
Yeah, with that being said, right when Patrick joined, we had a couple, what was it, October, Halloween last year was his first show.
Yep.
And then from there on out, it was Point Fest. It was,
well, we played with Stitch Up Heart at that show that he played with us.
Stitched Up Heart, Point Fest, Lacey Stern, Flyleaf, and now Seven Dust. So things have gone nothing but up for us.
Yeah. I guess that's where I first started taking notice was those Road to Point Fest shows, and then of course you guys play Point Fest.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, but yeah, that's it's just cool to watch a group like yourself, and you know, and a lot of these bands in our St. Louis music scene right now. Like, a lot of good things are happening, but it's just like, it's cool to kind of get on the ground floor level of a band, even if you guys been at it for a couple of years, but you know, watching the success you know, take off, you know, watching you guys go, you know, hustling and trying to do it, and then of course like Seven Dust and everything else, things shows are happening and big opportunities, and you guys are you know, rising to the occasion.
Yes, 2016 has been a good year for that. I mean, we started off and, you know, we were kind of, we were trying to make our mark a little bit, and then that the Road to Point Fest came up, and we were a little apprehensive just because we were sort of thinking we were going to go on a different pattern of things. Maybe we were going to start writing a couple new stuff, or we just weren't sure. And then we decided we were going to jump on it, and, you know, we really wrote it out, and we, you know, tried as hard as we could and practiced as much as we could and really tried to tighten some things up where we could, and it ended up being a lot of fun, and, you know, definitely glad how it turned out.
You know, sure. We kind of set out to make a statement that, yeah, you know, if we're going to do it, let's do it.
Yeah. Especially it being a third try.
Be relentless, yeah, at it. And just
go, we didn't go anywhere the first two times years ago, and then this time we said if we're going to do it, we're going to do it right, and we're going to do it all the way through, and
right,
it ended up working out.
It made it a show when people dug the shit out of it and got what we wanted out of it, so.
Yeah, that, I don't know, like, people get excited about some of the other stuff, but, like, I love going to the pop stage at Point Fest. I mean, that's, like, again, that goes back to what we were saying earlier about all my friends, and it's just so much energy and excitement over there. It's just, you know, and you get such a variety. You know, that's what I think is great about the whole thing. I mean, of course, the whole bill is a lot of variety for the point, but you're getting, you know, you guys are pretty heavy, and then you got, you know, some groups that, like, Apollo's Daughter has,
right,
you know, more almost R&B pop kind of influences, yeah, in there and stuff at times, and you know, different, there's a lot of different styles of rock going on up there, and
variety,
rock's coming back,
spice, yeah, of life,
yeah,
yeah,
enough of this pop punk,
sure,
weirdo stuff.
Weirdo stuff. I don't know. It almost sounds like they're like ripping off some of the 1950s rock and roll and putting some pop on it. Or, yeah, something. Like, some of the stuff I heard. Like, hey, I think I've heard this before.
Adding an extra chord or something.
Yeah,
it's funny.
Cowbell.
It's funny talking about all that new music, because I always wondered what the. I mean, there's a lot of bands that kind of do the you know, the whoa kind of stuff, you know, with their music.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard the other day it was called the Minette. Millennial,
yeah, it's trend. It's a new trend.
What, yeah, do they call it? It's like millennial,
millennial
holler, whoop or something. I don't know what it's called.
It's the woe.
Yeah, it's it. A lot of, you know, and I'm not exactly sure where I was going with that, but, you know, it was kind of you know, talking about the new music and how trends are, and we kind of, sure, try to keep.
Sometimes it's Alzheimer's kicks in. We don't really.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. There's a lot of that, like. You know, people try to, you know,
sort of hopping on the bandwagon, yeah, with certain sounds, right, and stuff. And,
but there's,
you know,
there's something too that about just that, like, being able to, like, sing along or something. Like, I mean, I don't know. It's just something in the brain that, like, and you can connect to it like that, even if it's at whoa or, you know, whatever,
yeah,
it,
yeah,
is. Like, people like it. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I have no problem
mainstream
with it at all. It's,
yeah,
it's one of those things that I noticed after the last couple of years. A lot of bands do that. And
right,
it, you know, it's funny that this article I read kind of put it into perspective. I was like, well, it's kind of a sort of, when people look back on it, it's like, that's sort of a, you know, you kind of tell what time of, or when,
yeah,
that song came out, like, around this time.
Right.
You know,
right.
It's funny like that.
Yeah. So, you know, we said Seven Dust and stuff earlier. Who else do you guys credit for getting you guys wanting to get up there and do this thing?
Just music that we've listened to,
yeah,
in our lives. We're all here pretty much rock gods, you know?
Right.
That's what we call ourselves.
I look in the mirror,
no,
before work every morning, and say, you know, before I go into my computer job, and you are a rock.
If he had a mustache, he would wax it. That's what he would do.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I don't know. Like, I've always enjoyed, like, Stain and Deftones and Chevelle, a lot of that kind of stuff. And
sure.
Yeah. Justin likes Pantera.
Yeah.
Yeah. What would DJ say if he was here?
Pantera sucks.
Yeah. I came from a lot of, you know, yeah, Pantera, Sepultura, you know. Yeah.
Soulfly.
Yeah.
Sepultura.
Big fan of that.
So we, yeah, kind of mixed all of our loves together,
yeah,
to make, sure, this one big mess.
Yeah,
that we call,
yeah,
conquer as they come.
Where do you find that you can start doing those screams like that and stuff?
Oh man, it took me forever to be able to.
I remember before we started this band, me and Andrew used to hang out together with a bunch of other buddies. We used to go to shows all the time and just go see like As I Lay Dying or something. We'd be out there,
pops bashing people around, getting black eyes. But eventually, I learned to scream like the big dogs and was able to do it with an actual one breath. You know, singing and screaming is at the same time is it just takes a lot of breathing.
Sure.
Yeah. And I'm like quitting smoking cigarettes, so that should help me out a lot once I do.
Before I come along in the band, Andrew always impressed me because I was primarily a screamer in my old band, and Andrew can go from straight up screaming from his balls to singing like an angel, you know. And I was just like, dude, I gotta do that.
I used to scream from my vagina, but that changed. Changed about 4 years ago.
Still in process though too. It's just gonna get lower and deeper.
Right.
Those surgeries take time.
Is there time for another whiskey drink?
Right. Bartender.
So, like Pat was saying, you were screaming in the previous group and stuff. I mean, have you guys been able to incorporate more of that with, both of you guys?
During live shows, nothing on recording yet, but we will.
Is that, going into the future recordings?
It should.
Yeah, that's kind of beating around the idea. I said something a couple of weeks ago about that.
Yeah.
Pretty cool to kind of incorporate something where they're kind of going back and forth.
Sure.
Whether it be a little short section for Pat while he's playing or however we go about it. I think it'd be really cool.
Yeah, he's been doing a lot of stuff in the live shows. We haven't really worked a whole lot on adding more because we've been concentrating on, just being solid for our bigger shows that have been coming up. Not trying to change a whole lot yet, but on the new songs that we're hopefully writing here in the next few months, there's going to be it's going to be a whole new sound, and maybe not a whole new sound, but a new sound and more of Pat going growling in your face.
Just different side of Conquer as they come.
Maybe some slower songs,
Cool.
Some more mellow stuff.
Yeah,
we like to try to be a little bit rounded. Kind of staying in the same pattern of things can work for so long, and I think we have room, especially now, for really trying to explore a little bit more into, just what we can do. I think that's the fun part, is, say DJ plays a riff or Pat plays a riff, and suddenly it's just like, oh, well, that's nothing like we've had before. This might get fun.
Justin will find a beat.
Yeah.
And then that's they'll carry it out.
A beat that's too complicated.
Then he'll think about it like 12 times.
Yeah.
And then find one that he kind of likes. Yeah. And we use it, and we actually make the song with it, and he still doesn't like it. And we record it, and he still doesn't like it, but he's just like, oh, well.
Yeah. So that song we recorded, we already have done, so let's go ahead and rework it for this next show. I'm thinking, got an idea.
Justin.
I'm going to get some congos.
Show's like a week and a half away.
Thank you, sir. That was Joe. He just gave me a drink. He's a bartender here. Yeah. He's nice.
Thanks, Joe.
Thanks, Joe.
I want to talk to you guys about the music video. You guys, three weeks ago? Something like that.
3 weeks,
But you guys, this is the first official music video, right?
Yes.
And this a new song called Make Believe. And is this, is that a pretty good idea of what some of the sounds you guys are working on for the future?
Yeah. I would think so.
I think it's definitely has like the attitude that we're going for.
Right.
Again, like I was saying before, kind of mixing it up, but the energy that's behind it, I think that song sort of opened up like some things that we haven't played before. And, so it's going to make the songwriting process a lot of fun.
Sure.
Continuing.
Yeah, the song sounds great, guys.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You recorded that with Mr. Matt Amelon,
yes.
Is that right?
Yep. That is correct. Mr. Fivefold Man.
Yeah.
Yep.
You guys are a wizard on the board, and he's been cranking out some hits. And
yeah. Sure. I was kind of nervous going in recording my parts, and it felt like I was in there and out in no time. And it was just it went really smoothly.
Yeah.
And so I look forward to recording with them again in the future.
Sure.
And then our video was done by JT Ibanez, Mr. Juan Ibanez.
Yeah.
And he did an awesome job.
For sure, yeah. And anybody that hasn't seen it, which I'll attach the link to the podcast page. And of course, you can find it on YouTube and stuff. But it's you guys did a little kind of a homage to Stranger Things.
Yes.
Yep. With which I thought was really cool. I mean, that's definitely become the show of the summer.
That's what I hear.
Yeah.
I've only seen one episode. Yeah. And then I was forced to make this video.
I've watched the first entire season, and it's worth watching for sure.
The show is a lot of fun. And I mean, if anybody that, like, especially, like, I'm sure we're probably all in a similar age range, but you know, I grew up a lot with all that stuff in the, you know, the Stand By Me and the Goonies and those movies around those groups of kids like that, and, like, it just has that feel to it, and it's just, like, it's just so much fun to kind of go back to that. And then, like, of course, just some of the nostalgia of 80s horror movies and things and stuff. So
yeah, that's a big thing with me, the nostalgia with, you know, 80s and stuff. And I'm sure when I see it, it's going to be a great show.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah,
sure.
I'll
binge watch it.
Yeah, yeah. I'll buy the first season and, you know, look forward to the second one.
Yeah. Yeah, I was excited. They did announce season two coming next year, and they already put, like, the episode titles, I guess, out on, like, a little teaser thing. So, you know, it's kind of fun to, I mean, anybody that watched the first season and kind of try to guess where season two might go. But I'm excited to see what happens with that show. But anyway, I think you guys did a great job with Juan Ibanez, you know, recreating that and, like, and making it your own thing. And but, like, it just looks really cool, and I think it fits well with the song, obviously. I
mean, right.
You know, being that you're singing about you know, make believe, and that's the whole kind of idea with that.
Yeah, kind of weird how it turned out like that, because we had this whole idea, like, 2 days before we were gonna shoot. It was going to be just some 70s party. We had people get costumes and all this stuff, and all of a sudden, we've recorded one piece, and it just blew everything out of the water, and we just flipped it. And
yeah, we did the performance section of the video, and
it got real.
Yeah, it got real. We're like, well,
we can't
go in this opposite direction. Yeah. We have to stay on track what we're doing here, because that was just the way it was flowing. You know?
Yeah, a lot of credit to Juan for kind of bringing home that concept, because, you know, we weren't, you know, I think we went from the first idea we had was just, like, you know, somebody running around some clubs and acting a fool, but then it ended up, you know, and then we ended up, you know, coming up with, you know, this idea, and it worked out really well. And
something that people can notice, because they've seen the show, and it just all kind of fell together.
And he didn't even sleep that night after the performance shots. I come in at 1 o'clock the next morning thinking we have to do more performance, and then later on a whole party with a bunch of people coming out in costumes, and he's just like, this looks really great. We're done with performance. I'm like, all right, let's barbecue. Let's have fun. Let's watch this thing, you know. And people showed up and ended up being a huge costume party, and people got down, and it was really fun.
Yeah,
he was up for, what, 36 hours until he
stayed the night at my house. And
30-minute nap.
He stayed up all night. Like, I woke up the next morning, and he was still editing on his computer.
Yeah.
He took, like, a 2-hour power nap in the middle of the set the next day. And
he's a workhorse, that's for sure.
Yeah. When I looked, actually, just on the way over, I looked and it was over 3,600 views already. So, yeah. I mean, that's, you know, pretty decent for a couple weeks already. And, like I said, hopefully more people will take notice and keep sharing it around. I mean, that's, you know, I've heard talk on, you know, on the radio and things and stuff. People talk about, like, the video, you know, is dead because, like, you know, we don't have the MTV and stuff anymore. But I still love seeing it, especially, like, you know, there are a lot of great videos like yours. And it's just cool to see people still doing, you know, making great music videos, especially when they're done like that. Like, you know, it's like where you got some story, you got some, you know, theatrics and stuff. All of it's, you know, it's a real video. And not just, you know. But I like seeing that people are still doing music videos and stuff, even if it's just on YouTube and things. But
Yeah, I think video is still important. I mean, a lot of people who don't come out and see shows, I mean, they may not get the sort of concept of a song or sort of the energy we bring. So video, I mean, for any band, is good, is, you know, obviously essential, you know, to sort of cast out that, you know, that idea that we have. Right. I think it's fun. It kind of goes hand in hand with how people record these days, though. A lot of people, you know, they used to do a lot of the full-length albums. Now people just kind of, like, bring it down to, like, a, you know, a small release of five or six songs or a little sure. more. And,
or even singles at that.
You know, it's weird yeah. how the music industry is sort of affected like that.
Yeah. But, yeah, I think, you know, that, like you're saying, it is a good way to showcase what you guys can do, you know, what you look like and everything. And just, like, and it's easy to pass out a single file, like, hey, here, check this out. Mm-hmm. Like, and in that 3-4 minutes, you can get to know, you know, oh, get yeah. an idea of what this group is
Instead
about.
Instead of just so. Looking at a picture right. or listening to a track without any visuals, you right. get to see possibly stage performance and all.
Sure.
Emotionally
all in
put
one,
into
emotion
it.
And, yeah, just creativity that the band has themselves. Mm-hmm. But it's really cool to see a lot of local bands with those types of videos yeah. stepping up and, you know, doing, showing people that, you know, it's not all about money. It's about doing what you love and
yeah.
making something quality.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of just quantity, trying to play a show every 2 weeks, you know.
I think a vision is definitely the important thing to have. You know, I think that carries a long way with anybody who's in the business or anybody who, you know, on the street, you know, they just see a video or hear a song and they can kind of tell that you have sort of a drive and a passion. That goes a long way too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So you guys just did Make Believe with Them Along right now?
Yes.
Yeah. So were you guys looking to...
Two or three more, I think.
Yeah, in the studio.
Yeah, we're contemplating some songs that we'd like to throw back in the studio. We're kind of looking at writing some new ones too, but we have songs that we're also looking to sort of tune up just a little bit.
Sure.
And that, you know, goes with the live shows too as well.
Maybe songs that we've recorded in the past that
yeah.
we need better quality recordings on mm-hmm. or, you know, to spark a couple up and remake a couple of them.
Yeah.
That's been a thing here lately, is really taking a good look at these songs before we actually get them on a hard physical copy and making sure it's what we want
right.
before it comes out.
Yeah. You guys, I mean, you know, not to put dates on things, but, I mean, do you guys have a goal set or anything for an expected release at all? Or, you know, maybe
what were we talking about, another song in February or something?
Yeah, I mean,
January.
Best case scenario, it'd be great if it was before the end of the year or just right at the beginning of the year. We've kind of been on this... it's sort of, we're trying to balance whether we should just try to go in and record some songs and then, you know, call it an album or an EP or whatever, or kind of record a song, do a video, so we can kind of stay sort of in the current, in the present time. And so we're kind of debating that, I think, currently. And just taking a picture of everybody.
Shut up.
Yeah, I think that, you know, you were saying how the industry definitely has changed, and I think that's kind of what's cool is also is that nobody really knows what's going. You know, everybody's trying to figure it out. Everybody's doing their own thing, trying to figure out what works best for them. I mean, whether it's a single like Pat said, or EP, or a full length album, or, you know, videos and stuff. I mean, everybody's trying to figure out the right answers because it's all yeah. up in the air right now.
That's kind of how it seems like. Everybody's yeah. just sort of, you know, so, trying to pick the right move, and yeah. you know, the most effective way to get their song and their you know, ideas out there.
Sure.
Well, it costs so much money to make these songs, you know, and mm-hmm. and putting them all on one CD or whatever. It's almost like you're not getting enough exposure for each song. You know, you want each song to be heard.
And all that comes out of our pocket. You know,
yeah,
people think
sure.
we bands make this or that, or, you know, we don't make, you know, we really don't make anything. We just do it because we want to do it. We love to do what we do, and we
eventually
want to have fun.
Right.
You know,
if we can eventually make a career out of it, it'd be great, you know, but nobody's really counting on that.
Yeah, I've been trying for 20 years and it still hasn't happened yet, but hey, man, dreamer's got a dream.
Sure.
It's got to keep it going.
You're getting to play with Seven Dust, Bobby. You know,
yeah, no, that's,
after 20 years, is it worth it?
I can mark that off the bucket list.
That is definitely a check mark off the, you know, bucket list, because that's a pretty cool show.
Yeah. Like I said, I remember that first time I seen him, man. I was like, man, it'd be so cool to play with them guys. They're awesome. I don't know. I've always heard from, like, watching, like, documentaries about it, like, old bands and stuff, and they said if you ever want to learn anything, that's one of the bands. If you got a chance to, like, play with them and watch them play, you're going to learn a lot just because they're so experienced at what they do, you know. They're just good showmen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Who else is on that bucket list? Who would
Korn, Metallica.
Yeah. I just saw Korn and Rob Zombie at the amphitheater, and
I would love to go see that.
They still sound great, man. Yeah. It was a lot of fun. Yeah. It was kind of cool. Like, it was nice to see Jonathan Davis happy. Like, yeah. You know, he was up there actually smiling and enjoying it. Like, it seemed like, I don't know if how much of it was an act and how much of it was for real, but, like, you know, he seemed pretty down for a long time, and, like, but he was actually, you know, just seemed to be really enjoying himself. I mean, he said he's still being able to perform with these guys and on stage and in front of these crowds, and
I would think that would be hard to pull off if it was an act. I mean, yeah. I'm sure
the industry, like, being as big as Korn is, and for the amount of time as they've been, I'm sure that really takes a toll on somebody, especially lead singer, front man of one of the biggest rock bands in the world.
Right.
You know, after 20, 30 years of doing something for so long, I'm sure, even after us playing the same five, six songs for 5 years, we're already tired. You know, sometimes get like, oh, I wish we had something new to play. Well, shit, that guy's been playing same albums for 20 years over and over and over, and I'm sure, you know, it gets to a point where in your life where you're like, you know,
I wonder how much I
want to stop doing this, or
how many times you had to sing Twist and stuff, you know.
You need to get a jump. Sometimes people like that, you just need to get a jump start and refresh yourself and remember why you're there and remember, you know,
as far as my
why you're doing what you're doing.
As far as my bucket list, I would, you know, I'm hoping one day we can open up for Willie Nelson, and if not that, I would take Woodstock 50.
There you go.
I mean, I want to be on that lineup if that happens, you know.
Be awesome.
Woodstock.
Yeah.
But, you know, if it's just Willie Nelson, that's fine, too.
Never smoke weed with Willie again.
Yeah. Yeah, man, I don't know. It's crazy that guy's still doing it, too. Yeah, speaking of, you know, 20, 30 longevity and stuff like that.
Legend.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got songs beyond songs under his belt that he didn't even sing himself that are just, you know, that's crazy.
Sure. Well, again, September 28th over at Pops. We got some tickets for sale. And you can see Conquer As They Come with Seven Dust, Crobot, and Wilson. And like 7 o'clock or something.
Yeah, I think it's doors at 6:30, 7:30 we start, maybe.
Something like that. So come out to that show and see these guys. And then, of course, mark your calendar. The Halloween party to be at is over at
The
Firebird this year. October 29th, Conquer As They Come with Skyburnt White, New Lingo, Discrepancies, Apollo's Daughter, Odom.
All the big boys.
And hosted by
this man, right?
Some guy named Shane Presley.
Some dude.
So
that's some bitch.
Yeah. But,
bring your best costume.
Yeah, come dressed up. So what do you guys gotten kicking around some ideas for some?
I think I already have mine in stone. Yeah. But that's only because I bought a jacket vest for this the video that we were gonna have, like, be dressed up in retro clothes. Yeah. So I think that's going to go to part of a costume idea. I don't know if that's a... Is it a surprise? I don't think it is.
We had this big, like, movie idea.
Yeah. It's no big deal.
Would you guys all dress as a theme, or...
Yeah, we're thinking about it.
Well,
We did Power Rangers since there's five of us now.
Justin's got a cool costume that
we
could totally work with. You could tell him if you want.
All right. It's Marty McFly. You know, I got this cool, it pretty much almost looks exactly like the original, but not really, but, and of course, Pat would make a
good Doc.
A good Doc Brown with his white hair.
Obviously, Andrew would be Biff.
I could be the Biff with a beard.
We got to find out something for Bobby and DJ.
Yeah.
Well, Bobby would be...
DJ could be the principal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mr.
Strickland.
Strickland.
Yeah.
DJ's bald, so Strickland would work. And Bobby could be Mr. McFly, the dad.
Yeah.
Just get one of those slick back black hair wigs.
Just got to wear a 50s prom
polo
suit,
shirt
or something.
Or, yeah, one of them suits.
I'd be that guy that said, hey, man, I think he stole his wallet.
The guy that no one even knows who he is.
Yeah.
You should have your prom suit deal, and you should have headphones with the little Walkman that says Van Halen on it.
Just up as Darth Vader. Right?
Mm-hmm.
That movie is pretty crazy. Like, to think about how much many things they did accurately predict and how some of those are way off for their prediction of the future and stuff, but it is kind of crazy to look at how close some of that stuff is. And
it's like, we don't have the flying cars, but we have drones,
right?
Cubs are doing good.
Yeah.
You know,
I
need an almanac, that's for sure.
Sports almanac. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And then what, they are really making the Nikes, the
Selfless? Yeah, they have made those pump. The glow, they light up or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they just tie themselves.
Right.
Strap down with the battery.
Power laces.
It's crazy.
Yep.
I wanted those shoes so bad when I was a kid.
I wanted that hoverboard.
Yeah.
My dad convinced me that those hoverboards were real. And he was like, yeah, we had those when I was a kid. I was like, always messing with my head, I swear.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, this has been a ton of fun getting to hang. We, like I said, we can throw some tunes on here. Give everybody a little taste of some Conquer as They Come. And I guess we can throw on Make Believe.
Yeah.
The new single. And of course, again, check out the video. And then anything else you want to play, guys?
We'll just give them that one for now.
Yeah. And then
they can go look at like Bandcamp or Reverb Nation for the rest.
Yeah, we have some tracks that we recorded a couple years ago that, pretty good. Pretty good tracks.
Yeah, we got all that. And then, of course, you guys are also on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. Is that right?
Twitagra. That's what they call it.
What is it?
The mixture between Twitter and Viagra. Twitagra.
Oh. All right.
Sounds dirty, dude. Yeah.
So,
are you Twitpotent?
Come on, you guys have never seen that movie before. Jesus.
Oh, wow. I'm a little behind the times, obviously. I haven't seen Stranger Things.
Yeah.
I live in a cave, by the way.
Facebook, Reverb Nation, Bandcamp. I think we have some on iTunes.
Yes, I believe we do. Yeah.
Spotify.
SoundCloud.
If DJ was here, he would tell us all about that.
DJ's actually making another child as we speak.
Oh, okay.
Playing hot snake.
He's got more baseball. He's got more baseball games he's got to attend. He's not done.
Lacrosse, I mean, it's everything with him.
Right. Okay, well, thanks, guys. I appreciate you taking some time out.
Appreciate it, man.
It's been a lot of fun.
Thank you, Mr.
Again, everybody, for all the support and help.
Yes,
guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Oh,
yeah, thank you.
Hold on. I almost forgot. Sorry, guys.
Oh, no. Right. Are these questions?
Yes.
Oh.
Questions.
All right. Okay, so I put your picture up online and asked the fans to send in some questions, and we got a couple of response. So Corey Smith of Apollo's Daughter writes in, and he...
he's gay, by the way.
Oh, okay. he said, ask Patrick why he plays with the puck between his middle finger and thumb instead of being normal.
The puck.
Why do you play
obviously
with the puck?
He means the pig.
Yeah.
Well,
you're not a spell, Corey, because reverse shocker is the new trend.
Yeah.
No, actually, that's not why. At my day job, I make big rocks and the small rocks with hammers. And
works at prison.
One day, a piece of the hammer chipped off and flew through my finger about a million miles an hour. and lodged down in my hand. And in the process of penetrating my skin, it sliced the nerve that runs down the side of my index finger. And to this day, I have no feeling in the side of my index finger. So feeling the pick is basically impossible, and that definitely affects your playing. So I moved to the middle finger.
There you go.
That's why.
Multi-talents.
Yeah.
Dedication.
Working in a coal mine.
Let's see. What else we got? Mario. Of Mario Spina of
what is Skyber he White.
He's Mexican.
He writes in. Boxers or briefs?
Boxers.
To who? Oh, all of us?
I guess, yeah. I'm sure it's for everybody. Is that also... side note, is that like the that's like become like the free bird of fan questions, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, really.
Yeah, that's right? Like there's like no thought put into that. Like, you're just an asshole.
Next.
For asking
that. Yeah. Boxers though, for the record.
Yeah. That's a trick question. Boxer briefs, man.
Yeah.
Coming from someone that probably wears a G-string. I wear.
Is this going to be recorded? Andrew, I told you not to.
And then he also writes in, did Andrew grow a beard just out of sheer laziness? Because I fucking hate shaving.
Well, there's actually half truth to that. Yes, I hate shaving. So I guess half of it would be pure laziness. The other half, I look like a small child if I do not have a beard. So I'd rather walk around looking like a man than a small child, I'm sure.
We're trying to convince him to kind of... pick up the Viking sort of getup, you know.
Kind there of. Is no ZZ Top going on.
Yeah. At least, braid them.
Braid them. I want to do the. I did think about doing the dreadlocks beard, you know, but I don't know.
Wear a pirate hat.
Just seemed kind of dirty.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe that's not gonna be.
Dylan McCormick of Inner Outlines writes in, "What does music mean to each of them individually?"
What does music mean to each of us?
What does music mean? Well,
starting hearing them now?
Sure. Go for it, Justin.
Oh, my turn?
Yeah.
What does music mean?
Gives me more time to think.
It's just, music's been a part of my life for as long as I can remember. I mean, you know, obviously a lot of people listen to music. It's just, I think as far as music goes, the first thing I think about is just how much, I like listening to all kinds. It doesn't matter. It can be anything from screaming death metal to something you hear on like some soft rock channel. I don't care. Yeah. You know, it's all good to me. It depends on how it makes you feel a certain way. So that's important. You know,
for sure.
It takes you to a different place, and playing music is definitely a sort of a privilege in a way because it's your own music that you're sort of using to do that. So. I guess that's my best answer for that. Bobby?
For me, it's listening to it is just kind of fun. It helps pass time. You know, it kind of takes you to a place, takes you away a little bit sometimes. And playing it is just, to me, it's a really good release. Like, you know, I mean, if you're ever stressed out or just want your mind to escape, you know, you're doing that for however long you're doing it. You're creating, you're doing, and... usually it's fun, you know. Don't really seem like work because we're having such a good time doing it most of the time. So there's a lot of hard work and emotion and feeling going into it.
Yeah.
It's, I don't know. I've been doing it for a long time. It's, I don't know. I think if I didn't do it, I'd probably go crazy and burn something down or something. I don't know.
I not to interrupt you, but I saying you're an escape, and I heard this. J.J. Gray Mofro, he was like a live concert, and he was saying how, you know, for him, music and stuff is this you know, people say it's this escape from reality, and he says that you know, that the music is the reality. It's the this escape from everything else. So like, I don't know, I thought that was kind of cool, like, you know, like kind of the reverse approach to it all. But you know, for him, like, that's how he gets to reality, is playing music and stuff, you know. So
that's a cool way to
spin on it.
Yeah.
That's a cool way to look at it. Like you were talking about Funkfest earlier, like I always tell people, I mean, I you know, funk music's great. Like, I always think you're never in a bad mood if you're listening to some good, you know, certain music like that. Like, I listen to a lot of, you know, KDHX, like, you know, sure. Throwing some local love out
there.
I'd
say music is like a remote control for your emotions kind of thing. Yeah. Like, your feelings, like if you're down, you want to listen to something. Well, it depends. You might want to listen to something to, you know, get that out of you if you're down, you know, cry a little bit or whatever. If you're happy, you want to listen to something that keeps you happy. You know, it's all about what your mind wants it to relate to. You know, sure. It usually does it on its own, so, you know.
I think it was like the lead singer of Earth Crisis that was saying that it's like a pure, like heavy music's a purely natural way to release the tense emotions, and it's just like that purely natural sort of thing is what always got me. You know,
does it on its own. Yeah. You know, you don't. There's not much thinking that goes into it. You really just, you just feel what you're listening to.
A lot of people, you know, listen to heavier stuff, and they're like, "Oh, what makes me angry?" Well, that's your first reaction,
right?
That sets you apart from someone who listens to it, and they're just like, "Bam!" They feel like they're almost cured. You know.
Do you have anything to add, Pat?
Yeah, I think for me, the important thing about music, and you know, it's like you guys said, it's an escape, but for me it's like more of a nostalgia thing. I remember as even being, you know, 5 years old, some of my first memories driving in my dad's, around in my dad's 86 Chevy Silverado, you know, we on the static radio you could hear all these hair bands, you know, and I just thought that was the coolest thing, you know. And then the 90s started coming along, and grunge started coming in. And then one day, I'm going to throw Gravity Kills out here. I found out that my cousin was the lead singer of Gravity Kills. And
your mind.
And I was like, yeah, it was definitely
a pretty
critical moment for me, because I was like, if my cousin can do this, I can do this. You know, and that never left me for a long, long time. And even when the big punk thing happened in the 2000s, you know, when I hear those songs, like, it takes me back to those times in my life, you know. It just does.
Yeah, for sure, man.
That kind of reminds me of, like, anytime we'd go out to, like, a family member's house or something like that, and my dad would always have music cranking. He'd always be listening to, like, Boston and 38 Special, and I love that stuff still, which I'm going to see next week, hopefully. You know, I'd sit there and listen to the music, and in my head I'd almost imagine that I was upstate on stage playing it.
Yeah.
And it kind of gives you the chills, and that always stuck with me. It's because, like, okay, I kind of figured out what makes me tick a little bit, you know?
It's almost like when we played Point Fest, just 6 years before that, I would go there every year and think and imagine what it would be like to be up there, you know, in front of all these people and play a song, and just to have the feeling of people, you know, 1,000 people screaming for you, you know. And it's just like, maybe I don't do it, you know, no one does it here to be cool or do it here for, you do it here for that feeling.
Yeah.
You do it because it gives you goosebumps when you're up there and then people are yelling at you and, you know, whatever they're doing out there, listening or not listening, it's...
There was a cool factor in the beginning where it's like, yeah, okay, I'm in a band, I'm going to play, you know. Then it's like, you know, then you kind of, you sort of turn that corner where you're just like, well, this is what I kind of know, and this is what I want to do, you know, no matter how long it lasts, you know. I'm looking forward to maybe being 50 years old and being in a cover band, you know, whatever.
Right.
It's just, you know, something that's fun to do, you know. Yeah. If that happens, it happens. But just the whole playing is fun. You know,
atmosphere.
Exactly.
Yeah, man. Well, I guess you guys are gonna experience thousands of people screaming next the 28th.
Hopefully. Yeah.
One more thing about that, man. When we play a big show like that and there's all them people screaming, if we can get them to scream, that's a really big reward for us, man. There's nothing that makes you feel like that. Nothing else. Nothing but prayers.
Yeah. Well, again, thank you guys. Get involved. Follow these guys online. Buy some tunes. Buy some tickets to the shows. Come on out.
Yes. And then follow Rock Paper Podcast.
Yes.
For real.
Yeah.
This is good
stuff. Doing a good thing for the local scene. So.
Yeah, it's really good. And I mean, I think the things that have been coming out as of late with like We Are United, Rock Paper Podcast, just highlighting things that are going on. I think that's awesome.
And if you keep your attention to Rock Paper, what is it, Rock Paper Podcast, the number 300 is a big one for you, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, we're coming on up quick. Yeah, I'm recording with Cabo on October 9th.
That's cool.
Sweet.
Yeah, you guys
are they doing a live performance?
Yeah, we're going to do like a 45-minute interview. And then, so the day is, it's going to be over at Gaslight. If you guys haven't been, you should definitely come check it out. It's a real cool bar and studio there where you can like hang out in the bar. And there's a big, you know, glass window around the studio, so you can like watch in the studio. So we'll be set up in the studio for the interview part, sitting on stools or whatever, and then they're gonna just start jamming after that. Loft Sessions, friends of mine.
Oh wow!
Been doing a video series with a bunch of local music, and they're gonna be filming it all. So so they're gonna film the performance part of it, and then put it all together in a nice package and.
Yeah.
So yeah, so
it's looking forward for that.
Yeah, it's gonna be a cool day. They're gonna have Cha Cha Chow is gonna be serving up some tacos. Gonna have some beer vendors. Gonna have it's just gonna be a good Sunday fun day.
What beer day is that again?
October 9th.
October 9th. Yeah. Mark it in your calendar.
October 9th.
So yeah, I'm pretty pumped. Like I said, big fan of Cabo and I like their new record a lot, and I'm excited that they were happy to jump on board and do it. So.
We're happy for you, sir.
Yeah, yes. Appreciate it, guys. So, yeah, come out, see these guys live with Seven Dust, September 28th, October 29th at Firebird.
Yep.
And stick around for Make Believe.
Yep.
Right here.
Yeah, buddy.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, guys. Thanks. Thank you, Shane.
Turn it up.
On.
Turn it to 11. Flag on a wall in misery. Complicated.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.